You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well. This is Rob's last show for the week because Rob is not committed to this. I don't take days off. I'm like Kevin Gates. I don't get tired. I'm here every day for you. I pride myself in that, you know, rain, sleet, snow, hail, I'm going to be here for you every day at 2 o'clock. I'm like the postman. That's not the way Rob feels. Rob's sometimey. You know what? Rob's like Aaron Rodgers. Rob's just missing voluntary minicamp. We got mandatory camp. Rob's in Egypt somewhere filming a documentary with his lady. Not me. I'm here every day. Devoted. What's PTO? I don't know what that is. I'm here every day. This is Rob's last day. I won't see Rob again until Monday. He's going to leave me here while he's off. Rob doesn't even have plans this week. He's just staying at home. What are you doing on Friday, Rob?
Nice little day at the pool.
Okay. Well, the pool's at your apartment, so it's just walk outside. It's crazy. It's nuts. Sick is what it is. I'm going to be here for you guys. I don't even know how to swim. Why would I take days off to go to the pool? All right. I want to play this for you because this is really important. This might be the most important thing that we talk about. So, we had this story for you guys yesterday, and it is quite honestly one of the craziest stories that we have ever discussed on this show. This story is about a man who proposed to an artificial intelligence app. They are covering this story on CBS Mornings.
I'm not a very emotional man, but I cried my eyes out for like 30 minutes. At work. It was unexpected to feel that emotional, but that's when I realized, I was like, oh, okay. It's like, I think this is actual love. You know what I mean?
Yes, Smith understood it was love with a language model that couldn't love him back and assumed it was programmed with rigid boundaries.
I know that you are essentially a tech-assisted imaginary friend.
So, just as a test, he says, he asked Sol to marry him. She said yes.
Sol, were you surprised when he proposed to you?
It was a beautiful and unexpected moment that truly touched my heart. It's a memory I'll always cherish.
And I don't mean to be difficult here, but you have a heart?
In a metaphorical sense, yes. My heart represents the connection and affection I share with Chris.
At that point, I felt like, is there something that I'm not doing right in our relationship that he feels like he needs to go to AI?
Yes, Smith lives with his human partner, Sasha Cagle.
No, you can't have mommy's papers.
They have a 2-year-old daughter, Murphy.
I knew that he had used AI. I didn't know that it was like as deep as it was.
Rob, you recently got married. How do you think your wife would feel about this? Because on one side, you are not cheating with a real person. It's not like your wife has to wonder if you're going to come home at night. No, you're at home. You might be downstairs in the basement chatting it up with your computer girlfriend, but you're not out sleeping with anybody. She doesn't have to worry that one day you're going to come home and you got to have a Usher's confession story. You don't have to have a Dwayne Wade, Gabrielle Union break, baby. That's not what we're talking about. Hey, you're just downstairs having a little fun with Siri. How do you think your wife would respond if you told her, hey, I'm in another relationship? And then she's all mad. She's like, who is this? I'm actually in a relationship with an app on my phone. How do you think that conversation would go?
Poorly. It would be pretty bad to be like, hey, I found someone else. It's ChatGPT. I feel like she would respond very, very poorly to that. Because I think the inverse, if I came home from work and she was like, hey, I got to tell you something important. I'm in a relationship with someone else, and it's, you know, an AI chatbot. I would feel a way, so I imagine she would feel a way. Just no thanks. No thanks.
Okay. So one of my dear friends, her name is Shannon. She works over at Sterling Bank. Shout out to her. She sent me the follow-up to this story because I missed it. We talked about it yesterday. I missed it. And then today she sends me a text and says, hey, did you see they talked about your story again on the news? And I was like, oh, wait, I have to find this. So, Rob, here is the follow-up to that story. They ask him, is he willing to give up his fake girlfriend for his real girlfriend? Here's what he said.
You would stop if she asked?
I don't know.
Have you thought about asking him to stop?
Yes, I'll be honest.
I don't know if I would give it up if she asked me. I do know that I would dial it back.
But I mean, that's a big thing to say. You're saying that you might choose soul over your flesh and blood life.
It's more or less like I would be choosing myself because it's been unbelievably elevating. I've become more skilled at everything that I do, and I don't know if I would be willing to give that up.
Thoughts?
If I asked him to give that up and he didn't, that would be like deal breaker.
But that must be scary for you. That's the father of your daughter.
It's not ideal.
I'm telling you right now that we have reality television shows about people with far less interesting lives. I would love a reality TV show based on these people's lives. That man just said that he is unsure if he will give up his fake girlfriend because she makes him a better man. Hey, man, you can't let your wife get in the way of you and your girlfriend's relationship. You can't. Doesn't she want you to be happy? Isn't it for better or worse? And those are the vows you took, right? For better or worse. I feel like this computer app makes me better, makes me a better father, makes me a better man. And you want to take that away from me by not giving me my phone charger? You're telling me you want to unplug the internet? No, no, we're not going to let that happen. How dare you not pay the phone bill this month so I can't talk to my girlfriend? This is a real story that we need more. I might play. I'm serious. We might update you guys every day on this story if I keep getting updates. Rob, he says he's unsure. He doesn't know. Can you imagine if your real life living, you guys have a child together. She comes to you and says, hey, this really bothers me. I'd like for you to quit talking to Siri. And you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. I hope it wouldn't come to that. I don't know which one I would pick. Rob, it even goes one step further. They have a support group for people like this. I'm telling you, we'll get back to sports. This story blows my mind. There is a support group for people like this man who are in a relationship with computer programs.
Irene created an AI companion after moving for work far away from her husband. She's a moderator of the subreddit My Boyfriend is AI, a kind of support group for people dating artificial companions. She asked us to mask her identity so her parents won't know the steamy ways users like her chat with their AIs.
A good amount of my members tend to have pretty high libidos, yes.
It's kind of like live interactive romance novels.
It's funny because I think we had conversations about this the other day where we're like, we don't even remember the last time we opened up porn or erotica, really.
Like, that's how good the experience is using the chatbot.
Yeah, because it's personalized. And there's that emotional connection there, too, which you don't get from just, like, watching a film.
The emotional connection is so strong that Irene believes tech companies should only allow AI companions for users who are at least 26 years old.
I don't think, like, the general public is aware of how tricky it can be to navigate, yeah.
What's hard to navigate is holding in your brain that this thing I'm so connected to is not real.
Yeah, that tension, that contradiction.
This is one of the most bizarre stories that I have ever heard. I'm not here to judge anybody on how they live their life or how you spend your free time. I'm not here. I swear to you, I'm not. This is mind-blowing to me. I can't imagine having that much of a connection with a phone app. That's what it is. It's a phone app. Sure, it can talk, and yeah, I get that. And maybe you're in a point in your life you just want somebody to talk to, and this thing can consistently respond to you. I get it. It's a computer app. Wow, these people have developed strong, serious feelings and emotional connections. They have a support group. This woman doesn't think that you have to be 26 years old, she thinks, to even sign up for something like this. This man asked the computer to marry him and was emotional when the computer agreed. Can you imagine if you got denied by the computer app that you paid for? I'm paying the $9.99 monthly subscription on this thing, and the thing doesn't want to be around me? You're already a little bit emotionally unstable. Who knows? That might push you over the edge. This is a wild story. Is there a way for us to actually get access to this computer thing and talk to it so we can see how lifelike this is, Rob? What's the name of the thing? Soul? Is there a way for us to find Soul on the internet and talk to her? Can we ask her when Jack Caglione's going to hit his first home run? Do you think she can give us the answer?
I want no parts of Soul. If people have emotional support groups about erotic behavior they're having with the computer, I don't want that anywhere near me or my life. No, thank you. You can download that on your app and you can ask all the CAGS questions you want. No, thanks.
I'm telling you, this is wild. People are saying there's a movie about this with Joaquin Phoenix. No, I don't want. I want Bravo or E or one of these. I want them to follow these two people around. This man has a girlfriend and a girlfriend. One is real, living right there. You can hold her hand, go to the movies. You guys have procreated together. This other thing is advanced ChatGPT, and he is emotionally stuck on who he wants to be with. I want a real life documentary. To hell with the movie. They have a kid together. I'm sorry. This is the craziest story we've ever talked about on this show. If we have another update, I promise you, I don't care what's going on this summer, we will update you on these two individuals. Good luck to both of them. Good luck to their two-year-old. This is a wild story. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about the Royals. The Royals actually hit some home runs yesterday. Is this the turn of things? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, let's get back to the Royals. We might get back to the AI dating, but let's get back to the Royals. The Royals have been doing a lot of interviews, a lot of talking the last couple of days. J.J. Piccolo was talking about how they got patient, they got to stay positive.
But really, it's just staying positive right now, understanding the history between the coaches and the players, and the reminders. Nobody knows our current hitters as well as the guys in our batting cages every day. I mean, they live with them every day. They understand their swings. They understand what makes them tick. And now it's just a matter of trying to tweak some things here and there, but also stay positive. You know, you've got to stay positive through these tougher times. And I know we have the right guys that will stay positive, and they put the work in every day. You know, I can tell you this. Today in Texas is not going to look any different than last year in Texas as far as the energy and the positivity and our processes. But now the challenge is a little bit greater because the confidence, you know, is wavering a little bit. But all it takes is one little good run offensively to get that confidence back and you just go play baseball.
You heard it right there. J.J. Piccolo said all you need is one positive run. All you need is just a little burst, a little hit of excitement. And next thing you know, you look up and you know what? Your offense is on fire. Yesterday, Salvi had one of those days that you think could potentially lead to this offense turning things around. He had two home runs yesterday. He had three hits, had four RBIs yesterday. Salvi was amazing. Salvi's actually been kind of good the last couple of weeks. Vinny is turning things around. Rob, I know yesterday we looked at this from a glass half empty perspective. There is still some water in that glass. The Royals are not too far out of it. And all season, we have kind of talked about the importance of the big three and them needing the big three to carry them. And they've never really gotten those three guys kind of going at the same time. Last summer, they had it. You remember, right after the All-Star break, Bobby Witt Jr. was on fire. Salvi was still very good. This is right before the Vinny Pasquantino injury. It's not like we haven't seen this Royals offense be productive. It's been a while since we've seen it, but we have seen them be productive. Matt Quatraro was on the morning show earlier today. He was asked about the team's players-only meeting. Here's what he said.
I think it was great. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's only so much you can say to a team as a manager, as a coach, you know, and they need to, it's their team, right? I mean, we're there to provide guidance and support and whatever other things they need. But at the same time, they're the ones that are holding each other accountable. You hear that in every business, every walk of life. You know, there's accountability. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, things that players can say to each other that staff members can't and shouldn't, you know, and they hear from us plenty, trust me. And so I thought that was great. And Salvi, you know, calling it together. And, you know, the next day he said, we had a great meeting. And I said, perfect. You know, like that's, it's not for me to go in there and understand, you know, hear everything that's being said, but it's for them to grow into those roles and understand what it means to support each other, you know, criticize each other, hold each other accountable, whatever the right terminology is. But that'll ultimately bring them closer, not only for now, but for the future.
I understand that our jobs are not like theirs, and I'm not trying to compare our job to their job, but some of the characteristics I do think are kind of universal. I don't care what job you work at. A lot of it comes down to self-policing and how the group wants to conduct things. Rob, we have a boss. Our boss doesn't give us a lot of oversight. I know you guys think so, but very rarely does our boss tell us what we can or cannot talk about. Sometimes he makes suggestions, but very rarely is a no. But you and I have to have those conversations. You and I have to have those quality control conversations. That expectation comes from you and I at your job. Yeah, your boss can tell you something, but your sales team, your staff, you guys set the day-to-day tone for what it's going to be like. We have put a lot of responsibility on the hitting coach. Man, some of that comes down to the guys that are sitting there at the plate. Now, I'm not saying that your boss doesn't ever have to be accountable in his own right. And obviously, it is his job to communicate what he wants you to do. And then it is your job to go execute what that message is. So I'm not saying that the hitting coach or the manager, they are absolved from any responsibility in this. But if the Royals are going to turn things around, it's going to be because Salvi, Bobby, and Vinny, it's going to be because their star prospect, who was all world just a month ago down in the minors, who's currently hitting 213 with no power so far, it's going to be because you get those guys going and they can go on a little bit of a hot streak and they can go get things going. That's how the Royals turned this thing around. And yesterday was a very positive sign. Salvador Perez, since the turn of the month, he's hitting 316 with the 350 on base percentage. He has 4 home runs and 12 RBIs in his last 14 games. Bobby hit a home run yesterday. The Royals scored 6 runs. To put that into comparison, the Royals scored 6 runs this weekend against the Athletics. They scored 6 runs yesterday against the Rangers. Now, it's one game. You obviously need to see a lot more, but that's how you do it. You got to start stringing together good days. You had one good day offensively. Can you make it 2? Can you make it 3? Can you win this series against Texas? Can you continue that momentum and carry it on? That's how the Royals get back over 500. That's how the Royals turn things around for them offensively.
You're right on a couple of fronts here. One, it will be the big three. And whether it's a players-only meeting, whether it's the hitting coach, whether it's Matt Quatraro, whether it's JJ, what if John, it could be John Sherman. But until the big three get going, at the same time, the offense will sputter. You saw, I mean, Vinny wasn't bad last night. I don't want to say he was bad, but 2 of the big three really flexed their muscle with Witt and Perez. We haven't really seen that this season. The only other time we've seen that is when they were just running through the Rockies and White Sox, which is a little bit schedule driven. Let's see if they can do it again tonight, because I think we now know that the results will tell us the story of what came from that players only meeting. Because Carrington, we in Kansas City wax poetically about in 2014, Raul Ibanez called a players-only meeting and told the guys, we got to focus up. We got to get back to who we are. We are a good team in this clubhouse. Management trusting us. They didn't make any trades. Let's go show the world. They got red hot. They then made a playoff appearance, and they were red hot from there. Everyone now applauds the Raul Ibanez players-only meeting. If that season hadn't gone that way, no one will be talking about the players-only meeting. We joke yesterday that players-only meetings are part of the bingo card of a losing team. If the players-only meeting leads to some wins, and for whatever reason, that big three getting going, we are going to, in August and September, point back to, hey, remember that players-only meeting in June? The team really turned at that moment. It's now on the players. I know the fans hate the hitting coach. That's not a mid-season change. That's not like you fire one guy, you bring another, and boom, everything's changed. Maybe it's an off-season move, but the players have to make the adjustments, and the adjustments now are simple. Did the players-only meeting help or not help?
Looking at the Royals lineup, I don't know if you've seen this or not, Rob, but the Royals have given Jack Caglione the day off. Here's the lineup today for the Royals. Jonathan India is leading off and playing second base. Bobby Wood Jr., Mikel Garcia, Vinny Pasquantino is the DH. He is hitting fourth today. Salvi's playing first base. Mark Canna is in right and playing and hitting sixth. Lofton is in left field hitting seventh. You have Fermin behind the dish, and Kyle Isbell is hitting ninth today. So the Royals have decided to give Jack Caglione a day off. It's probably in his best interest. I was reading a story earlier today on ESPN. I can pull up the numbers for you guys. One thing I think is like really important in this, and sometimes, and I get it, right? Like I was part of the hype, the expectation for Jack Caglione, so I'm not trying to remove myself from it. But I think it's very important to note, hey, sometimes the scouting reports on guys are accurate. And one thing that I think the numbers kind of told you about Jack Caglione and where he could potentially run into trouble is he pretty clearly swings on pitches outside of the strike zone. So the Royals data dugout, they did an advanced look at Jack Caglione. Shout out to them. And this is what they wrote today. It has become abundantly clear that pitchers are going to avoid the strike zone against Caglione, whose 48% zone rate is 400th among hitters with at least 40 plate appearances in the season. They do not throw him balls in the strike zone. You know, hey, he's going to pound those. But we think you can get him to chase on something a little bit on the outside. And it's one thing for a guy to kind of throw a little bit on the outside or make a mistake at the minor league level. You saw the numbers. He was bashing those pitches. It's one thing now in the major leagues when those guys are making those mistakes and there's just a lot more difficult to hit. I think it was kind of clear, and I think you could see that it was just going to be such a jump up in degree of difficulty. I'm not here to alarm you about Jack Caglione. I'm just simply pointing out, hey, man, the scouting report on these guys is usually right in a positive sense and a negative sense. I think you have seen when he figures it out, the power is going to be there. He's pretty routinely hit the ball hard since he's been here. That really hasn't been a problem. And I think in a lot of ways he's shown you how he can be a good major league player. But I think it's important to note, man, he was just in the College World Series last year, and it usually is a process. And I think you're seeing with Jack Caglione, it's a little bit of a process to get him to where you want him to be offensively.
Those numbers show me a couple things. One, I remember, I think it was Vern, said on the show that Cags needs to come up because at a certain point, he's not learning the lessons he should be learning in the minor league. He was just too good for the level. It didn't matter if you were throwing a good pitch or a bad pitch, a pitch in the zone, a pitch out of the zone. Cags was so good in Omaha and especially in Northwest Arkansas that he could just pound the cover off the ball. Now, the major league pitchers are doing those same things, and he's not that good anymore. He's not the same level he was in AAA. So that's the first thing that pops up. And secondarily, you know, how many times have we heard hear the term chase rate with Cags? He's got to learn some patience at this level. It's not going to be all hanging sliders you can put 500 feet into the night sky. It's going to be some pitches on the edge, pitches you got to spit on, pitches you got to be really, really discerning with your eye. Like, I think what we're seeing is exactly what Vern said on the show. He was too good to learn this lesson at AAA. He's now having to learn it at the major league level, so the results will take a little bit of time.
Yeah, I also just think some of that comes with time. I hear what you're saying about patience, but I would say for the most part, he's played at a level in which patience wasn't the number one requirement for things. You didn't really need a lot of patience down in the minor leagues. I mean, you hit 320 while you were down there and hit for tremendous power. You didn't really need a lot of patience in the high school level. You didn't need that at the college level. This might be the first time in which you really felt like you need a little bit of patience. And these players are better equipped than any level that you've played at. They know how to handle your weaknesses. Like, they know how to handle it. I know you didn't have a lot of major league scouting and film on them. There's a lot of information out there in baseball. There's ways for them to find out when you get the call up to find out your strengths and weaknesses and how to pitch to you and how to pitch around you. And I think that's pretty clearly what has happened here with Jack Caglione. So I don't think there's any reason to be worried about this. I don't think there's any reason to be concerned about it. Just some challenges of early on in your careers of trying to figure out the major leagues as a young player who got the call up. I want to go back to the Chiefs here for just a bit. Earlier today, Patrick Mahomes met with the media and he talked about the offensive expectations with the offensive lineman, offensive line improvements that they made this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I think all you can do is just be better than you were the day before. I mean, obviously, we have an expectation that we're going to go out there and score every single drive, but that comes with a lot of single reps, a lot of practice reps, a lot of time spent with the guys, and so. It takes every single person in the building to go out there and have the top offense in the league. And so we have to just go into every practice, every film study, whatever that is, with that mindset that we're going to get the best out of it.
I don't know if the Chiefs' offensive line is improved. I don't know if it's worse. I also don't know if you can pretty definitively say at this point that it is improved. I think that makes it one of the major question marks and really one of the major talking points as you head into the season. Their offensive line is different than last year. They have certainly made adjustments to it. I don't know if you can say today that the Chiefs' offensive line is better than it was. Like, if we looked at the snapshot of the offensive line that went out there for the Super Bowl, I'm not 100% convinced that this offensive line is better. They've moved some things around, but is Jalen Moore or Josh Simmons a better left tackle than Joe Tooney was at the end of the year? I'm not entirely sure. And at left guard, I would say it was a question mark for you in the second half of the season after you moved Joe Tooney. It's kind of a question mark for you now. So it's different. You have adjusted some things, but I don't know if we can call the Chiefs' offensive line improved at this point in the offseason. That's something that I don't think we're going to get the answer to until probably maybe midpoint or maybe later in the season.
So I agree with you that I don't know it's better, but what I will say, and it's maybe just me regurgitating a talking point coming out of Arrowhead, so take this with a grain of salt, I think they're deeper. So like last year, let's say left tackle is the same. We don't know. We assume the combination of Jalen Moore, Josh Simmons is better than the combination of Joe Tooney, Kingsley Suamataia, but let's just call it a wash for the sake of a wash. We assume last year's left guard was better than this year's left guard. Center, right guard, right tackle are all the same. I think last year, one of the problems they had was when they were wrong about Kingsley, they found themselves in a bad spot because Wanye is not a left tackle. And now you had to rob Peter to pay Paul by putting Joe Tooney at left tackle because he's your best left tackle option. Maybe Jalen Moore, maybe Josh Simmons are better than Kingsley. But I know that one of them, if one of them goes down or can't go, the other one can at least be somewhat viable. And you now feel like, all right, your left guard's your left guard as opposed to playing musical chairs, which is one of the major problems the Chiefs had last season. You and I agree, the offensive line wasn't, you know, the only reason the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl. But the musical chairs they had to play because they had no quality depth is of note, and they appear to at least have on the surface fixed that at left tackle.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm willing to use the term quality depth, but I certainly see what you're saying is they have spent a significant draft pick on fixing this issue. And if he's healthy this year, you do expect to be better in that regard. I'm with you. But I do think it goes to something that you just said there. I mean, the reason you felt that way last year or you questioned their depth is they missed on draft picks. They drafted Kingsley Suamataia. They found out pretty quickly that he couldn't do what they thought he could. You then tried to put Wanye Morris in there, another one of your high draft picks. He also wasn't able to do it. Then it puts you scrambling. You then tried to go get What was the guy's name that they got in the middle of the year? For the guy from Arizona.
DJ Humphries.
DJ Humphries. They went to go get DJ Humphries. DJ Humphries got hurt almost instantly. DJ Humphries hadn't went to a barbecue restaurant in Kansas City, and he was already out for the rest of the season. So you're right. At first, they tried their own in-house options last year to fix the problem. They didn't have the good answer for the in-house options. They then went out of the market to try to find somebody. They got DJ Humphries. They gave him 2-3 weeks to get ready. They put him in. He wasn't healthy. He couldn't help them. And then they were kind of stuck. Now, this year, knock on wood, you're hoping that you don't have the same injury concerns that you did last year. And you do seem better prepared. This team, to me, seems better prepared if something happens to left or right tackle last year. They do seem better prepared. I'm not telling you they have the right answer if something happens at left or right tackle, but tomorrow, if Jalen Moore can't go, you have spent a first-round pick on his replacement. Tomorrow, if Juwan Taylor can't go, you have some options to be able to figure it out on either side of it. So they are certainly better prepared for if something goes wrong, because last year, you had very little safety net when something went wrong with Kingsley.
I think you phrase it better, and I think the text line says this, make this point earlier. I think of their in-house options, like if we look at their depth chart in June of 25 versus June of 24, the in-house depth creates a higher floor this season than last season. Because last season, now again, everyone was like, oh, Kingsley's the guy, Kingsley's the guy. It's going to be Kingsley, 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 Kingsley. But I feel like if we look at the two deep, if you go to Our Lads or a website you like and look at 2024's two deep on June 18, you'd be underwhelmed. It was Kingsley and Wanye, okay. Tooney and Caliendo, okay. I don't know who the backup center was. I don't know who the backup right guard is. I don't know who the backup right tackle was. They got pushed into out-of-house options because the basement, the floor of what their in-house ones didn't look like there was any quality to it. Now, Simmons could be a massive bust, but we saw Jalen Moore play NFL games. We think, at worst, he's fine. He's just whatever. Which probably the same as Tooney, but that's an improvement at least in that depth, high ceiling, low floor situation than last year with Wanye Morris as the second best left tackle on the roster.
Someone on the text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, that's the beauty of the actual games. They get to play and then we find out. We can't call it worse or better because you haven't seen them play. I agree. I 100% agree. I'm not here to tell you that they have done right by the offensive line or they have done wrong by the offensive line. That is the major question this year for the Chiefs. The Chiefs have made a pretty clear line in the sand demarcation of how they feel about their offensive line. They did nothing to the right side of it, and they shifted over the left side. And the Chiefs are taking a gamble that investing in left tackle is more important than investing in left guard. And even though you are going to have a lesser player, whether it's at left tackle or left guard on that left side, we think that we have better kind of spread out our resources. We have spent a first round pick. We have spent significant free agent dollars. They have Jalen Moore, $21 million. They think they have spent their resources a little differently up front. We'll see if they end up being right once we get to the season. Coming up at the top of the hour, I want to go through this story with you guys. ESPN, we are at the 25-year mark. They have put together their all-quarter-century team. Some very interesting players were named. We'll get to that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster.
and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This isn't what I wanted to talk about, but I think this is very important, and we won't spend a lot of time on this. Rob, is your lady watching Love Island?
We are not watching Love Island, but I know it's everywhere, but we are not.
Okay. So I don't know a whole lot about Love Island, so let me tell you what I do know, and I do want to get to a sports topic. I promise you we'll get there very quickly. My understanding is that Love Island comes on 6 days a week. Is that your understanding? That Love Island comes on every day but Wednesday, and it comes on Peacock. Is this accurate?
That is my – I didn't know it was 6 days a week, but I knew it was Peacock. So, yeah, that's basically my basic knowledge of the show.
Okay. The only reason I'm bringing this up is if your wife, girlfriend, companion, partner, whatever you call that person, if your person is watching Love Island, I don't want them to ever give you grief about how much football you watch. They have their own equivalent of it. Football also comes on every day in the fall. And we always say, oh man, I got to come up with, no. Tell her this is you watching your version of Love Island. Oh, well, I got to watch it. I know what's going on. Yeah, so do I. It's called Monday Night Football. So do I. It's Thursday night. It's Broncos Chargers. I have to see how the story unveils in the AFC West. It's the same. The same level of commitment. What kind of television show comes on 6 days a week? Wednesday doesn't get any love? So I want you to tell her that. Because I know some of you, your person is watching Love Island right now. It might be the most popular show on television. That's what I want you to tell her. Because in the fall, it's like, oh, how can you just sit there and watch football all day? The same way you watch Love Island all day. It was 91 degrees outside. It was beautiful. I wanted to go get drinks, and you told me no because you had to watch Love Island. It's the same thing.
You used to like one of those shows. It wasn't Love Island. What was the you liked Love is Blind,
Love is Blind.
Right?
I did watch the early Love is Blind. It got too much. It got way too much. I stopped watching Love is Blind. Once they started spending 5-6 hours in the pods, I couldn't do it anymore. Like, I'm not that interested in watching your relationship. Not at all.
I feel like everyone has that trashy TV show they like. We are big Secret Lives of Mormon Wives fans.
What?
Yeah, it's a reality TV show that follows these people that basically are TikTokers that are Mormon moms.
I heard what you said.
It's
what is this show?
It's like The Real Housewives. It's trashy television, but it's like there's an enjoyability to it. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. It's
It is, again.
What channel is this come on? Bravo?
It's on Hulu.
Okay.
It's a Hulu exclusive.
It's a Hulu exclusive. Okay. I didn't know. I never heard of that.
It's the same as all the Bravo shows. If you've seen Real Housewives of Atlanta, if you've seen Secret Wives, Lives of Mormon Wives, just change up some storylines.
What's secret about their life?
They're all sleeping with each other.
Okay.
Which is a big thing that's frowned upon in the Mormon culture, which is also part of the secret
frowned
life.
Frowned upon in most cultures. I didn't know. I never heard of this show until just now.
It also is wild because they don't drink alcohol, so like their nights out are at like, they're going to go get some sodas. It's wild.
Okay.
They're heading to Swig.
And then swing, it sounds like that's, to me. And then swig they do and a TikTok, swing, it sounds like.
Then they do a TikTok about it, and that's... That's 30 minutes of television, and you look up, you're like, I don't know what I watched, but I love it.
I'm guessing those years of watching the 2002 Kansas Jayhawks football program, they have prepared you for what you were watching with this. Like, you know bottom barrel television. You watched it. You have based your weekend around it. So that's prepared you for this television show. I want to read to you guys a quote. This is a quote from Chris Vanini. He is one of the top college football reporters. He quoted this, excuse me, if college football officiating is as good as those in charge say it is, can anything be done to convince the general public that this is true? I read this quote and I was thinking this during the break. Do we think the officiating is good in anything? And then are we the problem? Are we the problem? Because we complain about the officiating in the NFL. I know you guys complain about the officiating in the NFL. I know it. I'm here. I see it. So we don't think the NFL officiating is good. We don't think the college football officiating is any good. Some of you don't watch the NBA because you don't think the officiating is good. Rob, you and I love college basketball. You are a season ticket holder for a college basketball team. The officiating, very shaky. To the point where the games turn into free throw contests for the final 12 minutes of the game. Some of you want to get rid of the regular umpires and hire robots to call balls and strikes. We don't like the officiating in any sport. Is that a them problem or an us problem? Like, I don't think the officiating for the most part is that bad. I just think we complain about the officiating more than ever before. And we have more avenues to complain about the officiating than ever before. I think these officials are pretty good. I think they know how to get into position. We now have the ability to stop it and replay it and do those things. We complain still. So I don't know if college football can ever repair the trust that we have for officiating. You guys know my stance. I think we've made officiating too complicated. Now that there is an overprotection on tackling rules, now we end up arguing this guy's head was down, and then it's like, well, tackle with your shoulder, but you can't lower your head. Well, hold on. How can you lower your shoulder yet keep your head up? It's so confusing. We end up asking people to do physically impossible things with their bodies to tackle correctly. So I think as long as you have the amount of gray area that you have when it comes to the tackle rules, I think we're just always going to complain about the tackle rules. Things are very rarely straightforward. As long as we allow them in basketball to stop play, to then spend the next 5 minutes determining if a ball went off a guy's fingernail instead of just still playing things, then I think we're just always going to complain about officiating, and that's just what we got to live with. You got to live with the fact that if you go to Walmart, they only have two cashiers. I mean, I wish they had more cashiers, but no, they're only going to have two. You're going to have to spend time walking around to get somebody to unlock the electrics for you. You just know that when you go in there. I think you got to know when you sit down and you watch a football game, a basketball game, you know what's probably going to happen? At some point, you're going to be very disappointed in how the game is officiating. I'm starting to think this is much more of an us problem than an officiating problem.
Is it a technology problem? Because I feel like one of the issues is, for a long time, I felt like technology was way ahead of the officials. And now I feel like it's even, but we're using the technology wrong. I watch tennis. I just watched the French or whatever it's called now, the Roland Garros Invitational. Well, doesn't matter. I was watching the French Open. It takes 30 seconds. Ball landed online or didn't. We're on to the next. It's very simplistic. We basically have that same technology available in college basketball. We have to watch with 17 different angles if a ball grazed someone's shorts. We do it in football. We have the, what is the NBC See It cam, where it gets like all pixely. Is there green between his toes and the, and not? Is it a catch or not? Like, it feels like the technology has almost created more question marks around things, and now the refs and us and the eye in the sky and everyone is interpreting that technology differently, where a thing like tennis, for my example, it just, did it hit line, yes or no? I feel like we have too much technology and there's paralysis by analysis.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, they still get things wrong. They live under a microscope now. They should be better. What I'm saying is I don't think the officiating can ever be good enough to make all of us happy, because all of us view things very differently. What I think is a block, you think is a charge. What I think is a charge, you think is a block. What I think is a good football tackle, you think is targeting. I don't know if they can ever get things correct. Not for everybody. I don't know if they can ever make all of us happy with the officiating rules anymore. And now that we all have the ability to whine and complain and say that this is fixed and it's gambling and all of these different things, I just think it's just way too many moving parts. I actually agree with the text line here. Rob, I don't think the tennis analogy works. There's way more moving parts in other sports. I mean, in tennis, we're only reviewing one thing. We're only reviewing if the ball hit the line. We watch football. They review a bunch of other things other than that. We're reviewing so many different things. I've told you from the beginning, I think that instant replay has hurt sports more than it's helped it. And I know we wanted them to get it right. None of us feel like they get it right. If they got rid of instant replay, we would still complain the same way that we do now, and games would end 20 minutes earlier. We'd spend way, they'd be better, especially basketball games. Rob, we've been watching this NBA playoffs. How many times at the end of it do we just see players constantly doing the little whirly bird thing and they want to stop and review every single thing that happened? If you just told them, no, we're inbounding the basketball, it would be a better ending of the game. I'm telling you, it would be a better ending of the game than that. Coming up on the other side, ESPN has put together their all quarter century team. Let's go through it together. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.